Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back to Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Back at you once again. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is going to be an interesting episode. Two out of the three fanboys. Usually we talk about filthy casuals and fanboys. Now, today it's one healthy person, and the other two can barely stay in the and for some reason, I'm still the one doing the opening. So, today we're going to be talking about another person that we just talked about, actually.
It's a continuation.
Yeah.
It's a part two of... I thought it was a well-received and well-conceived idea. We talked about The Rock and his early days as a wrestler. And, as Lewis kind of hinted in that episode, he's not just a wrestler anymore. Especially for younger members of fandom. It's almost an afterthought. Oh, yeah, he used to wrestle.
Right, I know.
Now he's Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
So before we get to that, we do have a couple of news articles that I kind of want you guys to talk about. And I guess we can start off with... I want to go back to Kevin Hart because... Kevin Hart has a freaking superhero movie. So for those people who haven't heard this, I just heard this today, and for some reason, I really want to talk about it. Kevin Hart has a new movie. It's going to be Nightwolf, and he calls it a superhero movie.
Yeah.
But the thing is, because it's Kevin Hart, he's not the superhero. He's the...
He's like the bumbling guy who just falls into it backwards. But backwards, kind of like all of his other roles, like we were talking about. Like, oh, my friend is a CIA agent. Oh, crazy life, yeah. So, but the funny part too, dude. So I play Mortal Kombat. Uh-huh. When he said he was in Nightwolf, I'm like, he's Nightwolf? He's like, wait a second.
Yeah, that's cultural appropriation.
Nightwolf in my Mortal Kombat, Native American. Wait a second. Very confusing article, by the way. But yeah, so I don't know, dude. Cause so it's probably gonna be like, shoot, again, tip of my tongue. My brain's fried. What's that?
Tip of your tongue.
What's that Will Smith movie where he's like Hancock? Sorry. So it sounds like it's not a superhero movie like from the DC or Marvel mold, but it's gonna be like a parody of the genre. I mean, at this point, Harold's harped on the fact that we're at the point of like superhero movies being at the tipping point of like it's too much. So we're at like tangent movies about superhero movies, which is, I guess it's a way to extend it, kind of how you make the old westerns. They made comedy westerns or romantic westerns or whatever. So now we're going to go into like comedy about superheroes. My appreciation of Kevin Hart kind of varies depending on the movie. I think
Is there a movie that you can appreciate him in any movie?
We'll talk about it later. He was good in Jumanji. I mean, but I think that's what it is. Like, I think I like him better in a bigger,
smaller.
Yeah, thank you. That's the word.
An ensemble of
exactly
because he can react to something.
Yes, thank you. He's always he's reacting to somebody's straight man gag or whatever. By himself, I don't know. Like, I like some of his earlier stand up, but anyway. Harold,
I was gonna go on. We might as well start. I'll go and rant real quick. I wrote an article about Kevin Hart because I hate him. He is not funny. I use his stand-up to go to sleep a lot of the times.
Dang.
Hot take.
No, I mean, literally, like, I love stand-up comedies, and I love stand-up comedy specials. So when you get the recommendation that because you love Dave Chappelle, obviously they're like, oh, he likes Dave Chappelle, so he's usually like the next best thing, which is Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, to me, never funny. I've seen all of his specials. Just to, support the stand-up comedy, but literally, it's like, helps me with insomnia. I just did that last week. He had the one where he's like, yeah, put some flames on these guys, and then people were like, oh, that's funny. That's not funny. There's nothing funny about any of that. And then all of his movies, like the one that's on HBO nonstop now is Night School. That's not a funny movie. That movie is horrible. That's another movie that puts me to sleep.
And yet he still watches these things.
I need sleep material. Because if I watch something good, like last night I was watching The Muppets, and I was like, dang, I forgot how awesome this movie is, and instead of sleeping at 1 o'clock, I slept at like 3 o'clock, because I was like, Jason Segel's also in this movie.
A pretty good pull right there. You know what I'm
saying? But like,
but I agree, it was pretty good in the Muppets.
Yeah, see, that's going back to Kevin Hart, who is not. They were both in This Is the End. They have the same amount of screen time, but everybody wanted to see Kevin Hart die in This Is the End.
It wasn't in the movie, by the
way. No. This is like at a premiere or something. But like being in a lot of the Rock's movies, and like Lou said, he's decent when he's not the main focal point of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he is the incidental character where everything happens around him. Like, even when he was in the crappy old parody movies, like he's in
right.
He's
I in forgot superhero about that. Movie, yeah.
And it's just like, you get this guy off, you know, off my screen already. And yeah, when the show was unwatchable, there was a comedy bit that he did with Conan O'Brien, where he was talking in the world because he sold out like Chicago Stadium, not Stadium, but Soldier Field for 50 something thousand people. And wow. Accomplishment, good for him. And then Conan was like knocking on him. He's like, 50,000 people, only about 20 of them laughing. He literally has a whole segment where he's stand-up comedian with Conan O'Brien, who's a host and a comedy writer, and he's supposed to be the funny one in that exchange. No way Conan mature that it's bad, and you can see Kevin Hart's supposed to be professional. He's cracking up the whole time because Conan is making him laugh, and then Conan's just like, we can just keep it going. But like, those are the best things he does on any TV show is when he like shows up on those things.
Yeah, but then again, a perfect example is where he needs somebody funny and he gets to react to it. Yeah. And it turns out Ice Cube is funnier than
Ice Cube is way funnier than he is. Like those, what are those movies called again?
But the Ice Cube. Buddy Cop.
Yeah, but there's like, I forgot the names of the movie. That's how bad those movies are, but like Ice Cube is, you know, the funny part. Kevin Hart has a hot girlfriend or hot wife, and then, you know, that's pretty much the whole basis of the thing.
I mean, he's lost.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, I gotta hide everything. Our hot girlfriend.
And at the very end, the hot wife still stays with him for some reason. She's like, oh, you're so funny.
It's very Kevin James of him.
Yeah.
Kevin James versus
Kevin Hart, dude.
Kevin Taylor James. Kevin's.
Kevin James wins that by a landslide. Like, I can watch Kevin James stand-up. And
wait, Kevin James does stand-up?
I was about to say. He has two specials on Netflix. One which is good, and then his new one. So...
I like your new shade.
It's a thing.
Wow.
Netflix has some weird recommendations. And it's like, hey, Harold, weren't you watching Paul Blart's Mall Cop? And I'm like, damn it, you got me, Netflix. And it's like, might as well watch this Kevin James special. I'm like,
okay, moving on to hopefully better news for Harold. The other big news that at least I heard, there it is. There's my asthma kicking in. Good job. It's a good thing we're a podcast. Is that Kevin Hale of Three Kevins. Kevin Smith has officially announced, and it's funny, I listened to Fat Man Beyond.
Yes.
Which, by the way, by tomorrow we're going to be going to watch an episode or a taping of Fat Man Beyond. Yeah, so
looking forward to it. I'm excited.
And take a listen.
I hope I'm better, bud.
Yeah, otherwise the recording is going to be like,
yeah, the whole time that it'd be
oh
like,
my god, this is Harold's thing.
This is, I'm gonna ruin podcast. He's actually just pretending right now, so he doesn't have to pay for those damn tickets.
Oh, I paid you already. I sent you money. What are you talking about? My Venmo says you took my money already.
I guess I'll have to check my Venmo.
Are you
lied to
checking
me.
Your Venmo?
My Venmo lied to me.
All right, let me show you real quick.
Okay.
Robert, by the
way. Oh, I could have. No, you're one, right? I mean, remember that one.
I
don't know if we're giving him
good job. You just gave my Venmo.
I mean, if you guys wanted to like send a Patreon or something,
yeah, please, support us.
What if randomly someone just sent you stuff and they're like, oh, like
$30.
They're paying for my ticket.
Okay, so I called shenanigans on Harold. Kevin Smith has announced that he is actually going to be in charge of a limited series, and it's going to be He-Man, Master of the Universe, Revelation. And what's cool is that it's not a reboot; it's actually a continuation. And the idea really is that, for some reason, I guess the storyline that there's like different plot lines that are, you know, hanging out there, and they're going to try to tie it together and tell it to her. So, kind of wanted to ask, interesting something that you're looking forward to, or is it just might as well just be Kevin James?
All of them as He-Man.
Kevin James as Skeletor.
What a
no,
cast.
No. Oh, Kevin James as Ram Man, dude.
Faces.
It just keeps switching.
It's like three Kevins.
Oh God, it's Kevin Hart and then Kevin James.
And then random Kevin McHale. Whoa, for the rebound.
Sorry. Great post moves by Manny Faces.
I'm actually kind of excited for this. So, like Dennis said, I actually also listen to the Kevin Smith, the...
Were you born yet when He-Man was around?
I watched it, but, I'm excited for it because, like Dennis, I also listen to the Kevin Smith podcast and his various other outlets, and he's been kind of teasing a project that he's been, like, super excited for and really looking forward to, and he hasn't had a chance to, like, release it, I guess, for... maybe it's a non-disclosure agreement or whatnot, but yeah. So I'm excited for his passion and whatnot for this to come out. I mean, he's a huge fan of like 80s and 90s stuff of his movies and product and projects with references and like nice homages. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, hopefully it's animated. So you know,
and supposedly the people working is actually Mattel.
So, oh, okay. You know, so, okay.
Fully update the graphics,
yeah.
But kind of come close to it.
Okay, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I was a fan of the 80s cartoon. I mean, the question is like when you said the continuing loose plot ends or whatnot. Like, I don't remember any loose plots from those series. I thought those were like 20-minute commercials of like of Prince Adam being like a weirdo and then you know saving the day at the end of the episode. So
maybe at the end, Skeletor turns on. And then that's the one last plot line that you know.
But yeah, so I mean, looking forward to it. I mean, I already got the subscription, so I'll throw my money at Netflix.
I read that he's doing it anime style.
I heard yet.
I thought I read that it was a continuation like anime style. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Or could I just saw the word animated? I'm kind of delirious at the moment, and just pictured it in my head, which is the version I want to see. Ironically, I was just watching like a series this week of the honest trailer for Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, I gotta see that one. Yeah, that's something like
you know, regular missing from that movie, like from the cartoons in that movie, and it's like, yeah, you kind of wish that they did something a little better to further the product, and then now this coming out. So, I mean, hopefully he keeps good tabs on the history, and actual character development for once. And, just keeps the action up and makes kids, you know, want to buy the toys. Because that totally worked on me because I had almost all of them. So.
Yeah. We're in my man cave and there's still a couple of He-Man figures from back in the 80s. So, yeah. I mean, I bet it's going to be some good-looking product, hopefully. And then we get some good old nostalgia.
Did you guys watch the 2002 remake?
Oh, cartoon?
I actually liked it. I thought it was pretty quality.
Yeah, that was on Cartoon Network, right? Yeah. Or something
that
like that.
That and Thundercats were, I thought, two reboots that kind of didn't, nobody really appreciated too much, which is that, I mean, we can appreciate because we're a little bit older than than most fanboys,
mm-hmm.
but is a nostalgia behind it? I mean, obviously, I don't know if you guys have had a chance. Netflix has She-Ra,
mm-hmm.
And it's graphics still something. You know, I'm me and my whole ugly animation thing. I thought they could have been done better.
Enough interest
in it. But the thing is, with She-Ra, it's not just it's actually a reboot, and it's not just a toy anymore. It's actual storylines. Actually, you care about these characters, so it's gonna be interesting how they're going to change this. You know how it goes.
Yeah. We'll see. Like you mentioned, besides the She-Ra, I mean, Netflix obviously also did the Voltron series, which unfortunately I haven't had the chance to finish. But you know, Netflix seems to be pretty respectful about these 80s and 90s properties, and you know, putting a good spin to it, or at least adding a little more depth. So, yeah, that's all you can really ask for. And you're right, like, it will be odd, because, I mean, it's funny, because Harold's mentioned, you know, Netflix suggesting stuff or pushing certain shows. So I bet there's going to be a good amount of people on this on Netflix is that the Toys That Made Us. I don't know if we've talked about that. But, yeah, those are just great, because it's like, it's 6-8 episodes, 80s and 90s toys, and I'm pretty sure it's still pretty popular. So that's probably the metric that they were using. Because, okay, so She-Ra was really popular. Voltron did really nostalgia films. let's make a He-Man. So, you know, hopefully, you know, they get, I know, it's, the internet's a weird place, because, like, because it's Kevin Smith, but it, part of me is like, but he does the decent stuff. I know it's not for everybody, per se, but, you know, every so often he hits one out of the park, and he feels, it feels like he genuinely cares about the fandom. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. There might be a couple of, you know, hopefully we'll see how many of those.
That's a little too easy for that.
I know.
Especially with his like little like you know underwear thing that he wears. Barbarian wear.
So we'll see. We'll see. I'm looking forward to it.
One last quick news. I don't know if you guys have heard. Become Sony's number one grossing movie. You heard which one it is?
No. What?
I hate.
Oh, Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man!
Has reached past $1.1 billion earlier. It is now officially the...
Wow. Wow.
And so that's why Tom Holland has nine films down
the... Oh, well, that's a Marvel magic for you. A billion. That's crazy.
Any other news before we go to our
last... No, that's all I can really think of.
Do you want to do that Snake Eyes thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, sorry. My bad. Yeah, so one last piece of news. Golding of Crazy Rich Asians. He was the lead character of that movie.
Sploosh.
Yes. the subject of many dreams. To be playing our next Snake Eyes, which to be perfect... Snake Eyes from the G.I. Joe series, which to be perfectly honest, I was not aware that... this makes me the casual. I guess I didn't even know they were making a G.I. Joe or Snake Eyes movie. So, yeah, what do you guys think?
It's... probably a prequel.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't make sense, though, because he's kind of old already.
Yeah, well, you know, like, he's probably 50, still looking like he's 30, dude.
But so. I mean, like, in general, like, you're making a prequel with a guy who's already, like, in his 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
And then, so Snake Eyes is believably in his 50s when he's doing all this, doesn't it?
Hey.
Sounds like madness. But, I mean, if they... because otherwise, like we talked about before, there's no point in hiring any actor... to play this character.
Yes.
He's the Snake Eyes that we know, which is masked and mute.
Yep.
Because you could literally hire Ray Park all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
And his name is already Ray Park. So most casuals go, oh, that guy's Asian.
Korean guy, right? No.
No.
He was Darth Maul. That guy. And Toad in X-Men. Yeah.
Maul was Korean?
South. So I mean, yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Well,
like,
he did split up south, north, and
wow.
South.
Wow.
So
that was a DMZ right there. So yeah, we'll see how it works out, and yeah.
That sounds good. But moving on to more interesting stuff, let's actually get to the meat and potatoes of. Speaking of meat and potatoes. One more news. Did you guys see The Deep? For those people who...
good segue.
For those people who haven't seen it yet, The Deep from The Boys, they've done some shots, and it's pretty risque.
I think that's the word for it, yes.
Yeah. So we won't talk about it, but all we're saying is put The Deep.
Yes.
And then recent pictures, and it's amazing.
Maybe safety search off.
Yes.
But I don't know. Actually, I don't know about that. don't open it in front of your family.
Yeah, sorry.
So NSFW is saying.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you have to... Which one... Never mind. We can't get into it. So let's move on. Speaking of snakes, look at these pythons. You know what I'm saying? Wrestling arms...
Wrestling reference.
So we're talking about Dwayne Johnson, and is that what he's? That's his nom de plume, not writing, but that's his name now, right?
Yeah.
Or are we still doing the whole Dwayne the Rock Johnson?
I think on social media he's still Dwayne the Rock Johnson. So when you tag him on Facebook or Instagram, it's still The Rock. But hypothetically, if he was to win an Oscar or an Emmy, he would go up there as Dwayne Johnson.
Would he?
I know.
Knowing him, he'd do a what the Rock's sort of cooking.
Oh, for sure. That's like part of why I really just want him to win anything. Just to go up there and like cut a promo.
I would just like for him to go up there and like a
just cut a promo on the audience. on Robert De Niro.
It's kind of like, in my head, it's going to be like Major League 2, you know, that one part at the very end where he's back. That lady puts in like a big cassette for the song. In my head, if that ever happens, there's somebody in the production booth who's like, oh my god,
I've waited my whole life for this.
His sleeves just ripped, his tuxedo sleeves just ripped off.
His $500 shirt.
Jeez. Sorry. Wow. This has gotten derailed. Okay, so let's talk. I guess, is it the mummy is the first, the Scorpion King is the first one?
His first real acting job?
Yeah.
I think was either Star Trek, Voyager, or That 70s Show.
Oh my god, I keep on forgetting Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a Klingon hand. Or he was on there. But yeah, I think acting wise on TV, that was one of his roles. But you know, I think we kind of talked about that our little stories already before of how when The Mummy 2, you know, hyphen The Scorpion King came out, was The Rock's first big breakout role, and how sorely disappointed we were because he was literally in it as The Rock as a person, not a CGI monstrosity, for like 2 minutes, literally 2 minutes. And then, you know, at the end, when he's supposed to be the big end boss, he's like this crappy PlayStation 1 looking, you know,
that was rendered. Insulting PlayStation 1, bro.
Oh, sorry. Final Fantasy was the boss.
It's like Nintendo 64.
How bad to stop motion animation.
Yeah. That was real rough. But, I mean, at least they were able to segue that. I don't know if that was like a test thing, but they did segue that into an actual, honest to goodness, 2 hour or however long, Scorpion King movie. As him trying to do his best, you know, Arnold as Conan shtick. Did you guys see that one? It's been decades. It's like one of his first ones, right?
Which one?
The Scorpion King. Like,
I saw Kelly Hu in The Scorpion King.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she was in there too.
There's people in that movie. MCD's in that movie. That's why they became really good friends.
Which one?
I'm sorry. Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I don't know him. Sorry.
That's when I met him one time. I was like, MCD.
Jeez,
and that's how he responded.
How about you, Dan? Did you see The Scorpion King?
I did actually not.
Okay.
Like the mummy, like it hurt me so much. Like I was like, you burnt me once.
Yeah, I mean, like it's funny still how like early Dwayne Johnson movies, I'm doing air quotes right here, it's still a lot of it. I mean, I think it still goes throughout his whole career. Is it a lot of his shtick is still The Rock, but in a different costume. So he was still doing like his weird eye, not weird eyebrow, I'm sorry, his signature eyebrow. He's still flexing out there with, you know, barely a shirt on. For whatever reason, he's like an expert bowman, like he's Hawkeye or something. So it's like, it was a fun movie, but I don't think a lot of people remember that. So what are the other early like Rock movies that you guys saw?
The one that actually, and it's actually next on the list, is The Rundown.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first one you could actually say that it was his. I mean, technically, yes, The Scorpion King, he was the main person. But this was, you know, did not have anything to do with The Mummy. This was an original IP. You know, this is something that was built for him. And yeah. I thought, even though most, I think it got like low ratings.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was great. I thought his chemistry with Scott, yeah, that guy. I thought it was really, really good. But again, it's you can still see the fact that it's still him. It's not Dwayne Johnson yet, and so you still have, you know, certain things where, you know, he's doing like wrestling moves mid fight scenes just for people like us to go, oh my god, look, he did this move. Oh my god, he did this. So, you know, I thought it was stupid fun.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing, you know, if it was not The Rock, I don't know if I would have watched it.
Yes.
You know, actually, if it was not The Rock and Ernie Reyes Jr., I would have, it was Ernie Reyes Jr.
Yes.
Yeah, I would have never watched it. But to this day, when The Rundown is still there, it's not, you know, it's not like Rocky or anything like that. But it's like, ooh, okay. Yeah. At least to the scene where they eat that fruit. You know, I still don't understand how that works, but oh well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. I remember I didn't watch it in theaters, but as soon as it came out on DVD, that was during my I buy every DVD phase.
Yeah.
And I was watching it, I was like, I enjoyed it. He had a great chemistry with Stifler, whatever his name is. And Yeah, the fight scenes were really great. The ending was, you know, typical, like a 90s, early 2000s action movie. And I thought from then on that was how all his movies were going to be. And I was okay with it.
Yeah. I like the rundown. There's a couple of, like, fun little Easter eggs there that I really like. I think this was when, like, in the first 5 minutes, he runs into Arnold. Yep. So that was a fun little cameo, because I think it's like an action movie thing where older action stars walk into the current star. I think Tony Jaa did it with Jackie Chan once in one of the movies. Anyway, one of my favorite parts of that movie is, Dennis kind of talked about it, was this fight with Ernie Reyes Jr. One of my favorite parts about The Rock as the wrestler was how well the term is sell. Like, whenever he would get punched, he'd look like he got shot in the face. And he made Ernie Reyes Jr. look like $1 million in this movie. Yes, at the end of the fight, The Rock still won because he cheated. He took a 2x4 to Ernie Reyes' face. But, you know, he made him look like $1 million with every flip kick, every hurricanrana. He flew, he dove, he, like, face planted. So it was a lot of fun. I think that's what made The Rock really fun. I mean, when we talked about his wrestling years at the last episode, we talked, you know, all of those Stone Cold fights, he only had like one win at WrestleMania, correct? Like, he went 1 for 3 against Stone Cold, you know, versus Mankind. Yes, he won a couple of those, but against Triple H, he lost. Towards his later career, you know, he lost a lot to the smaller, quicker guys, but, you know, he still looked great after that. So obviously I like that about his character in the movies.
Are we planning on doing a chronological order, or
unfortunately I haven't seen all of his movies, but so yeah, whatever, you know, in order, whatever order you kind of want to go about.
Well, what's interesting to me is that at least for his early movies, it seemed like they were trying to figure out where is The Rock.
Yeah,
you know, you had him in the Gridiron Gang, really serious.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, really emotional, and then right afterwards they did, you know, it's always the same. It's like, you know, Mr. Nanny is, you know, with that's Hogan, right?
Yes.
It's like, let's get the wrestler, you know, and with a little girl.
Yeah.
And so when they did with The Game Plan, you know. So
it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
You know what's a better movie? Tooth Fairy.
Oh, so you're right. There was a window of those.
As much as the Tooth Fairy, he even made fun of himself in that movie. I enjoy the hell out of that movie. Just because, like, all the other actors around him are, like, A-plus comedians. Like, Stephen Merchant is his, like, Stephen Merchant and Julie Andrews are, like,
his, oh, that's right, his
British wards. And he's learning how to be a Tooth Fairy from those guys. And he, for some reason, beats up Ryan Sheckler, which I've always wanted to do because I hate that kid. Nice. There's a lot of hate.
Yeah, and I think that's where we start finding, I mean, to this day, I don't know if we'd say he's a serious actor, but, you know, I think that early years was when he was trying to, like, we were trying to figure out, he was trying to figure out what kind of actor he was.
Yeah,
because, you know, I thought Get Smart, we kind of mentioned this a while ago, Get Smart came before the Tooth Fairy, I believe. And so, like, that one, you still have the Rock when he wasn't actually huge yet, like physically. He was in a man mountain yet, and he was buff, you know. Yeah, he was a regular guy. But, you know, I especially that movie, I thought they were slowly but surely finding that mix of, yes, he's a serious character, but he can still have the machismo, he can have the funny side of it. And I think, you know, throughout those early movies, that they were able to really, like, sell who The Rock was.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I think it's funny how you mention that, because it does mirror his wrestling career. Because, like, early on, you know, Vince couldn't figure out how to sell Dwayne Johnson or how to sell The Rock. And I think producers probably are the same thing. Is he going to be the next Arnold, who's literally, like, you know, two or three lines, huge, attractive, you know, attraction? Or is he going to play to his strengths of being, you know, a comedian? Kind of like, actually, it reminds me of a little bit of Chris Hemsworth's career, where, you know, initially Thor is just this beefcake, you know, Australian dude. Towards his later, the recent years, where, you know, he has great comedic timing, just like Dwayne Johnson. So, I mean, I think one of my favorite examples of that is, again, I think we're jumping all over the place, but, you know, I loved him why can't I remember the name now? Jumanji, sorry. Where I think that was the perfect blend of him being fun, yet, you know, ridiculously in great shape. So, you know, to the point where everybody was super jealous of this guy on screen, and yet you know, in a movie with Jack Black and Kevin Hart, I thought he was still the funniest character there, just because, again, everybody played off of him.
I think, like you said, we're jumping around. For me, the movie that kind of brought out the perfect persona, even though he was in it briefly, like Dennis mentioned, Get Smart, that was pretty close. But I think when the character he played in The Other Guys was exactly who he ended up becoming. Where he was an action star in the beginning,
right.
Samuel L. Jackson, so two badasses. So, you know, pretty much a prequel to all his Fast and Furious stuff, which just a year later or so. And it's like, yeah, he's serious about it, but then he gets to be like, you know, are the rumors true that you're dating Kim Kardashian? And he's like, I don't want to address those rumors, but yes. You know, it's like, yeah, that's the guy. And then the fact that both him and Samuel L. Jackson are just like, yeah, how are we going to get him? You know, just jump onto the awning and like, all right, first down there, get to the, you know, whatever, and then they just jump and it's like, they play My Hero by Foo Fighters, and I'm like, yeah, what a great exit, and then they just die.
Splat. Just
and then it's just like perfect, like them doing that short sequence. It's super hilarious. He basically became a big, like a buffer Samuel L. Jackson in that movie, and that's kind of the persona that he needed to kind of go with, like we talked about, where in wrestling he's this big giant guy that cracks jokes and then fights, and you know, he doesn't quit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, strangely enough, you know, go with a movie character that fits to those strengths, and then you find exactly, you know, the success that he needs to be, and I think that's where they were right and going.
Now, speaking of you know, Fast and Furious, I think, you know, of all the people here, when we're talking about casuals and you know, and fanboys, I think one of the movies, and I'm shocked that, correct me if I'm wrong, this might be the first time we're actually going to be talking about this franchise with Harold.
Which one?
Fast and Furious.
Can we real quick talk about another?
Oh, sure.
One of the cameos that always cracked me up.
Okay.
What's his cameo in Reno 911 Miami? Did you ever see that?
Yes,
I don't think so.
Where he was like, I am the Condor. So it's like, because all the...
It was a convention.
It was a convention. All the police officers are, you know, they're all stuck in one convention. The only people who are left are the Reno Sheriff's Department. And then just happens to be that The Rock is a one-man SWAT team. And he's like, okay, don't worry, I'll save everybody here. And then he's like talking to the Reno 911 things, and he's like holding a grenade. And then he pulls the pin out, and then everyone's like, he's like, no, no, don't worry, as long as I have my thumb here and the pin here, it's fine. And then he accidentally unlocks his finger, and he loses the pin, and he's like, oh, and he like kicks it around, and then he like goes to get it, and literally he just blows up. And this is before any of those other movies, so like, I'm watching this on DVD with my friends, and I'm like, holy crap, The Rock has, okay, he's done. He literally has a 3-minute cameo. The best part of that movie, which is saying a lot, because like, there's a lot of great parts in that. But so Fast and Furious.
Yeah. So I was saying, of all the people, you are, you are a Fast and the Furious junkie.
Yes.
For those people who don't know the background of this, when Fast and Furious came out, Harold and his crew were there watching.
Yes, open to that.
And then they rode out.
We went to go to the races right after the movie.
After a tear rolled down their face.
Yes.
They didn't rip.
But then we said, we can do this.
So everybody else, Harold and his friends are going, wait,
hijack
bunch of casuals over here.
Yeah.
You could do that, like hijack a bunch of VCRs.
Yeah. From apparently that technology doesn't exist anymore,
yeah,
so
dude,
that movie's obsolete.
Yeah, sorry, tangent. But we just, my son and I just watched the first one because he's a huge fan of, you know, it's weird how The Rock is like entry drug, because he got into the Fast and Furious because like, oh, I like The Rock. Like, let's watch the first movie because it's on Netflix. And I see how much that franchise has totally gone off the rails, because the first movie is really just like a grounded, gritty, like weird. It's not gritty.
It's
but
Point
it's
Break with cars.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, it's Point Break with cars, because you know you have a undercover FBI agent, but it played off as serious. Like these dudes, like the Vin Diesel character would not survive the stuff he goes through.
No.
And after Fast 5, the stunts that he does, like, this Vin Diesel was, like, crying, he was emotional, like, I think he got a fender bender, and he's like, oh my god, I'm gonna die! He was like, wow, this is not the movie you were expecting, buddy. Sorry, but anyway, go ahead.
But that's why they The Rockies, we can't call him the Rock, who cares? This is our episode. But he was calling himself, he gave himself the nickname Franchise Viagra.
Oh.
So if a franchise was dying, The Rock comes in and he revives it, so it's working again.
That's a lot of phrasing in what you just said, by the way.
Yeah. But for him, it's like literally Fast and Furious, which took out the does, was a movie that was okay.
Yeah.
But it was good enough that people were like, oh, we want to see where this goes. And they're like, okay, we need a guy to try Dominic Toretto.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be this guy? And then they're like, some fan was like, hey, you guys should pick The Rock. And then The Rock's like, okay.
Yep.
And from then on, it was literally like, Fast 6 sucks because The Rock is barely in it. Fast 6? Fast 7. Fast 7 is.
Yeah,
6 is, he's got a substantial role too, but Fast 5, like, if you guys have ever seen our, a meme we created a few weeks ago with about the best action movies.
Yes.
And people were like dogging me saying, why is Fast 5 on here? Because Fast 5 is the best Fast and Furious movie besides Tokyo Drift.
Whoa.
Tokyo Drift is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, okay.
Everything else tries to be too serious. Anyways. But Fast 5.
By the way, Tokyo Drift is my favorite.
Yeah, it's
my favorite Fast and Furious.
They got La Culantanga. Anyways. But with Fast 5, it's an actual.
Is it the one in Rio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So they're like running through the favelas. I don't know how The Rock's able to stand on those roofs without breaking through all of them. Cause he's like 3 stone in that thing. And yeah, like
Paul Walker. Did you just use a different unit of measurement for The Rock?
I don't know. Cause he's different, you know? He's different.
Somebody's in work.
He got 2 quads right here, 2 boulders.
We're talking and about metric system. Yeah. Oh, I believe he's 3 stone.
He spent a fortnight there. Yeah.
How tall is he? A couple leagues.
About a league and a half. League of work. But it's see, that's how ridiculous the guy is in this movie. It's like that. My 2 favorite scenes in that movie is like when the new partner meets him and she's like, oh, you know, what's your only request? And I mean, you can bleep this out because you're going to bleep this out. But he's like, yeah, stay the fuck out of my way.
Yeah.
And it's like the only time they've ever used that word
yes. In
the whole Fast franchise. And I was like, ooh, The Rock got to say it. And it's perfect. And then the other one is when Vin Diesel is wearing a wife beater. He's like, look, like, this is Brazil.
I know.
And The Rock, and he makes... He looks so small standing next to The Rock. And just like, you always imagine like Vin Diesel in like Fast 1 and 2 and 4 or whatever numbers are going with. That you're like, oh, he's like a big dude.
Yeah,
and he's more. He stands next to The Rock and is like, sorry, bro. That's why it's sad to see that, you know, their relationship has gone down the drain since the past couple of movies.
Right, yeah.
And it's disappointing that like right as we talk now, Hobbs and Shaw is no longer the number one movie
nope. In
the universe. In the universe. Well, in film, it's Good Boys. But Tyrese was saying, oh yeah, look what happens when you're no longer part of the big picture and you try to do your own thing. You don't succeed or you don't do as well. But you're like, this is a brand new franchise.
Yeah.
Give them, you know.
Yeah.
Like, when was Tyrese ever the biggest part? Like, who always goes... Hey, this movie wouldn't be as great if Tyrese wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Only part 2 is the only one where you're like, oh, Tyrese is in integral to the story. Everything else is just like...
He's like the Kevin Hart of Fast and Furious.
Oh, see, that's why I probably hate both of them. You know, if Kevin Hart was on a train singing, you know, always Coca-Cola, it would be even worse. But I don't hate you, Tyrese. It's just, you're on the wrong side of the law in this
movie. Oh, yeah.
In terms of like... Don't get mad at The Rock for trying to start his own thing and doing his own thing just because you need him. When in terms of like, he isn't as integral or whatever to the whole Fast universe, because there's literally like 40 main characters in this thing. So take anybody out.
Except for the Asian dude.
Yeah, well,
he's Asian.
And Wonder Woman. So,
oh, yeah. No. Han and Wonder Woman.
Got rid of the two best characters in that movie.
No, what's the name of the, not the bad guy, the lone wolf guy from number 1 that showed up in number 5?
Vince?
Yeah, Vince.
Yeah, he's dead.
He died, right?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
So
yeah.
He died, too.
Yeah. Everybody that's important. There's only one character from the original Fast and Furious that is still alive that they've never brought back. And I forget his name because he's just
there.
But he was the guy that was like, cops. So if you ever watched the original Fast and the Furious.
Oh, the guy with
the Palestinian guy with the mug.
The ADD and.
No, that guy's dead.
Oh, when did he die?
He's the guy that gets the drive-thru at the very end of the movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
I can't believe I'm going up. Fast and Furious, anyways. He steals he loses on his Jetta. He reneges on his bed.
Okay.
Disappears for a day.
We need to contact Justin and say, forget My Little Pony.
Fast and Furious. You don't want to do that. Just say.
Okay, moving forward.
I've never seen all of them. In a row.
You've never?
I'm just gonna talk about.
Okay, I'm just gonna say.
That was like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so moving forward, so definitely the Fast and Furious franchise has boosted him to epic levels.
If it wasn't for his performance in Fast Five, he doesn't become who he is now. Yeah. Like I said, if it wasn't how he performed in the other guys, he doesn't get that role in Fast Five. So it's like that kind of the first domino to fall, and then now we get the character that he can literally just run with. For the rest of his career, and everyone's just going to be like...
Yeah, he's guaranteed like a couple... Like at least a number one slot for like the first weekend.
We briefly talked about... Or not really on air, but... The only really big fault that he's ever done was Baywatch. Just because it was such a... diversion from the original source material.
Mm-hmm.
Which was literally just, you know, girls bouncing in bathing suits. And now you got the two main characters being...
Yeah,
Dwayne John, The Rock, and Zac Efron, who I don't mind bouncing around in bathing suits, but you know most dudes.
But I guess the rest of the world did not care for it, unfortunately. But when they cemented his role, and then shortly after the Fast and Furious series, I mean, that's his big introduction, and then the one that I feel cemented him into pop culture that even my mom knows who he is now is has to be Moana. Yeah. Right? I mean, speaking of number one movies, I mean, how long...
That's like a complete jump of...
Yeah, I'm just saying,
I was going to say, your mom really likes G.I. Joe Retaliation.
she loved Doom.
Because I was going to argue, and that was the one argument I was going to have, which characterization is better, like the best Rock... Is it the best? Is it Hobbs, or is it the guy Duke from G.I. Joe Retaliation? Because I thought that was like it's still one of my what we're going to be talking about movie in the future. But I thought his character in that movie that was who I thought The Rock should be. You know, he was the badass action hero. He still was able to do his quips and everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I thought that G.I. Joe Retaliation they found. Their median there, and you know, like I'm not quite sure with the chronological order, but it almost seemed like after G.I. Joe Retaliation, they started using his interpretation of Duke into the Fast and Furious series.
Oh right, that character. Yeah, I like. Sure. You know, it's really too bad that I don't think they're going to come back. I mean, we just talked about Henry Golding being the new Snake Eyes. I don't think they're going to revisit that franchise anymore, which is, like you said, too bad because it's a really good movie. The first movie... You're right. It's better than the first one. It's a fun action...
Wait for that episode.
Where Harold argues how much better that is.
That's a guarantee.
That's true. You're right. It's a slam dunk. Dude, it was better than Channing Tatum. It was a fun movie because besides The Rock, Snake Eyes, the ninja that we all knew and love actually does ninja stuff. I think his character is a Roadblock. Roadblock gets to drive around in a huge tank and he gets the biggest guns, literally biceps and actual
just
guns.
Just like Roadblock.
Yeah, so it was a fun movie. I wish there was more to it, but unfortunately it didn't quite fall for him for that franchise. But obviously he's rebounded quite nicely. So
real quickly, did you hear the controversy about the casting of The Rock as Roadblock?
Because he's not African American.
No, he wasn't dark enough.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and they were like using their because they use the cartoons as an example, which is obviously racist because the marker went pretty deep on those G.I. Joe cartoons. But they were like, so who should be Roadblock? And then in my head, I was like, Roadblock looks exactly like one person and one person only, Louis Gossett Jr.
But by 2005, was he available to be the
Louis Gossett Jr. He, I don't think he's sturdy enough to sit in a pilot seat anymore. Because that's as far as he's going, you know. But yeah.
Okay. So, Louis, sorry to interrupt you.
Okay, don't
talk about Moana, yeah. Which cemented it in pop culture.
Yeah, as a household name. So, I think it's funny because, like, you guys are talking about, like, what character epitomizes The Rock or condenses The Rock. I think Maui is definitely one of those up there. Because, again, he's quipping. He's huge. He is, you know, the almost a quintessential Disney, you know, what do you call that? I guess not. He's obviously not a Disney princess, but he's in the same vein as Genie and Mufasa, where it's like a side character, or you know. But he's like larger than life. So I really liked him in that role. Like I said, he became, you know, more than mainstream in that role, even though you couldn't tell who he was. And you know what else?
Couldn't tell who he was.
I know you're right. From scene one, it's like, oh, that's The Rock. But you know, I also, you know, here's my Asian American studies coming out. But
I'm pretty sure there was a scene where when he's getting the Heart of Defeat, his eyebrow went up.
I am. Did do the people's elbow to the
that living island.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
What I also liked about that too was like it's come up a little bit in his recent movies is how he's like he's showing a lot of pride for his Samoan or you know his Polynesian side, which I think that was a great avenue for Disney's marketing because it was a slam dunk for them to just be like showing off all these wonderful costumes and background. But you know it gives me a lot of pride. It's like, dude, there's a brown man out there, and you know, raising sons, raising this next generation. I thought it was really helpful. It was good. You know, it's that that thing of representation matters and whatnot. So it was nice. It was good for this next generation of Polynesian Asian Americans, island kids, to see somebody up there who represents them and is proud of their background and heritage. So yeah, kudos to that movie. It was a great mix of all. You know, Disney. They've had misses lately, but you know that was definitely not one of them.
Which Fast and Furious did he do the haka?
He did it in Fate. He did it in Fate of the Furious. He did it with his daughter.
Oh yeah.
And oh right. He does it
in Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
It's a big thing in Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah.
Like literally, it's not really a spoiler, but like if you've seen from the commercials, the last part of Hobbs and Shaw, which in theaters now.
Which is really, really good. I thought it was pretty good.
Did you watch it already?
Yeah.
Oh, you watched
it? I've seen
it. So can we talk about this
really? That's why I said it. Yeah.
Okay, so we're fine.
I thought we were going to say this for
For the ending, but yeah. But like,
for a review, but I guess not. We can do it now.
Just briefly talk about like how the last part of that movie is literally, hey guys, my last name may be Hobbs, but I'm Samoan, and it's just like, oh, what's a Samoan? And then bam! You never seen a Samoan? This is Samoan.
Like, look at this.
Here's my mama.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people, like, if any of our listeners had never been introduced to the Samoan culture, which is, it happens because, you know, not everybody has gone to Hawaii or hung out in Long Beach and Carson or Las Vegas.
And because most people don't necessarily know. When people are in Hawaii and they see somebody, oh, that he's a Hawaiian instead of them being Samoan.
He might be a Samoan. I mean, it's always, you know, a little bit of different cultures. But it's good to see, like Dennis said, or like Louis said, a different representation of not just culture, but like a culture that us ourselves can be somewhat familiar with. So, yeah. Look out for that Hobbs and Shaw review. It'll probably come with our Godzilla and Men in Black review. Which we should totally do.
Yeah. I don't think Lewis has watched.
I haven't seen Men in Black, but I've seen Godzilla.
Okay, there you go. And yet you still haven't watched Lion King.
I mean,
refuses.
Wait, is The Rock in that?
Yes. He's Mufasa.
No, he's Fried Rock.
That just isn't art. What? Never mind. Oh, God. So, last but not least, you know, we're talking about Baywatch, and you said that was a, that was a failure.
Kind of a misstep.
Yeah. And we kind of started, part of what we started today was the idea of Kevin Hart and your fury of Kevin Hart. And so, of course, we're going to go with a combination of The Rock and Kevin Hart, which is Central Intelligence. So, I mean, you know, was that a misstep, you think? Or was that comedic gold for The Rock?
No, like, The Rock is awesome in Central. Like, him doing... What song does he do?
In the fat suit? Or,
yeah, when, he's, when they do the CGI. Like, I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But he does one of the 90s songs. I think he does one of the in-book songs or something.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
Like, you know, him getting to be him and just being named Bob is just hilarious. And, like, trying to pretend that he's a normal person, and then you have, as usual, because he can't create his own creative ideas, Kevin Hart being like, oh, yeah, you know. Like, Kevin Hart is if Chris Tucker got kicked in the balls. That's how high Kevin Hart's voice is, by the way. So, sorry.
That's so Harold's new podcast, by the way.
Just goes, Kevin Hate.
Got kicked in the balls. Where are going, guys? Oh, man. Do we have to bleep a lot of this episode? Sorry.
I don't know. Do we have to bleep out kicking the balls?
No, he's saying if you get to bleep out my last name, but at this point, it's
wait, did you... Did you say your last name?
I said my last name.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
Fine, then. Let's just do the trifecta. Because he's got to yeah, never mind.
But all three, he's going to be bleeped out.
Yeah,
it's
just
going to
be fine.
I was going to start. I was going to cruise to that, not have to edit anything, but...
Like, from towards the end, you just, like, start testing a bunch.
Yeah.
Just randomly. Not, like, in a row, so he's got to do it like this, but it's like... Let the beat, the beat, the beat,
okay, so...
What did you think of Central Intelligence?
I actually thought it was pretty funny. And I thought Kevin... And again, Kevin Hart reacting to The Rock being The Rock.
Yes.
You know, was just great. The character that he created was ridiculous enough that and irritating enough that you wanted to punch him. But because of the way he plays it, in the end, it's like there's actually heart, no pun intended. There's actually heart in the whole thing where at the very end, Bob Diedrich, you know, is
seriously that name?
And it was Bob Stone, right?
Like, yeah, Bob Stone.
In the end, the fact that you can actually relate to the guy to the point where. You know, it's not ridiculous to see him and Melissa McCarthy making out, and then all of a sudden, oh no, that was, he became naked beforehand. But then making out with Melissa McCarthy, and I was like, well, okay,
I see it.
I'll take it. Any other things before we end our episode today?
Just I guess quick hits. I like that little run of movies of his where he's like, it's standalone movies. I'm talking about San Andreas, Skyscraper, and Rampage. Where it almost feels like he's playing the same guy,
yeah.
Rugged, you know, dad figure, or, you know, fatherly figure trying to save the world from some kind of disaster. So, you know, he's got that, you know, in different occupations too. So he's
I like just like that he, it was every occupation got more ridiculous. Yeah. I was like, first, I am a, I fly helicopters.
Right, no, I'm a rescue
and I'm
helicopter
pilot. Alexander Daddario, which was, you know, yeah, great for the rest, and Carlo Gugino.
Dude, yeah.
But yeah, so a hot family for him. But then you come up next, and he's like, oh, all of a sudden, I'm a monkey trainer.
Yeah.
Ex-military.
Ex-military monkey trainer.
But great at, I say great at hand jobs. Sign language. That's what it's called, right?
Yes. Yes, that is what it's called.
Sorry. And then it's like, and then
he's a military.
But he can make that, everyone keeps saying that physics jump, it's like impossible.
Yeah,
but
unless you're the Rock.
Obviously.
But about those movies are all fun. I really wish, as much as I love The Rock and Rampage, that the focus on Rampage was the actual monsters. It's a video game.
Yeah.
Which I loved playing as a kid. And
but it was about the monster in him.
No, he was the monster. Way too many times, and I literally got bored one time, and I was like, I was going to do the George counter. The George now. It just got ridiculous.
I'm not quite sure, because I stopped paying attention to you guys. Did we talk about...
Yes, we did, for a little bit, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because, again, we kind of mentioned this, I really like that movie.
That is a movie. Because I remember my cousin was saying that the best part of that movie is everybody but Kevin Hart. And then I was like, oh, that I hate Kevin Hart. And I was watching it and I was like, yeah, Karen Gillan is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Black is excellent in that movie. And The Rock is new to himself as a wrestler. You know, the whole, like, smolder thing.
Yeah.
So it's just like... And then the sequel looks very promising, because, you know, it as that one little kid, he's now being Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito. So it's going to be The Rock playing Danny DeVito, exactly. Playing Dr. Smolder. Yeah, what is his character?
Smolder. Mixing characters down.
Yeah, my bad.
But what did you like about his part of the...
Kevin Hart. No, it's always... for some reason... The one scene that I loved, everybody transformed, and he's like telling himself, you know, you can't cry, you gotta hold it. that scene, you got me. So good. I like this movie now. And Kevin Hart exploding is always
him being trampled. Him eating the cake.
So ridiculous.
Who's ready to kick?
These where it's like I remember, you know, I remember like so long ago, but you know, when the internet loves this knee jerk reaction. So when they said that they're gonna do a new Jumanji movie with The Rock, you know, people are already poo pooing it, saying it's like, oh, it's another cash grab, blah blah blah.
Guilty.
Yeah, right. I was shortly after the whole, you know, that series of San Andreas skyscraper running movies where it's like, oh, it's just The Rock trying to cash in on stuff. But that movie, it's a good sequel or a reboot, a great video game. It was actually one of the best, like, it loved the rules of video games, you know, counting lives, how physics works, how the NPCs work, and how finishing the goal finishes the game. So it's like, yeah, it rolled into one that was very successfully done. So I liked it a lot.
Yeah, to kind of wrap up this whole episode, I kind of wanted to ask you guys a question. You know, considering... If anybody else had the same acting career as The Rock, would he be praised more, or would he be ridiculed? Because, you know, like a varied repertoire of movies, he's would we be criticizing? You know, let's say, I don't know, if somebody like Clooney or somebody like Brad Pitt did all these movies where it's like, he's the hero. He's the of those guys. If he wasn't the original Rock, a wrestler before he was an actor,
I think so. I think he is a total roller coaster of like odd choices and different, you know, genres in a sense. But yes, now again, shit like Skyscraper or in Jumanji. So yeah, it would be totally weird to see that. I think The Rock has, he's got a lot of. Being a wrestler and just being physically who he is, that he can get away with the roles that he chose. So it, nobody, like even Hulk Hogan on his best day could not. You know, I know it's like the Hollywood Hulk Hogan character, but you know, nobody has done Hollywood the way The Rock has. So, you know, kudos to him for, you know, he could have pigeonholed himself into the dumb muscle bound guy in the background. But you know, he chose to expand. Filmmakers saw that he had a funny side, he had a sincere side. You know, that was bankable, and you know, he's still going strong. You know, I know we already made Keanu, but you know, undoubtedly soon enough, we're gonna have a year of Dwayne. You know, I look forward to that year where it's just all The Rock all the time. So you know, it's due. He's already so excited to see where he takes the rest of his career.
I think the only other actor who has like a similar character path, or it could pull off things, would actually be the other star of Hobbs and Shaw.
Kevin Hart?
No.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan.
Okay.
Like in terms of a comedian, and also done like romantic comedies, and then had to do an serious
action
roles.
Yeah.
Action parts.
Why? You're right. Ryan Reynolds became a superhero, and so far, there's no superheroes yet.
Yet. Yeah.
But so he has those pretty big movies coming out.
Any rumors about him in the MCU?
No.
Not
still,
yet, but...
Still the DC.
Yeah, still the DC. So he is Black Adam. Yeah. So...
Which, again, I don't know if we mentioned this. Why did they go that route?
I'm not sure.
Like, Levy was pretty good.
Yeah, as Shazam.
But
yes.
He should have been Shazam.
Yeah.
You know, like...
To play a villain.
From what I heard.
Oh, okay. So, like, a change of pace, I guess, or change of scenery.
Because, you know... It's always nice to, like, when he was in Dudes, and you're like, oh, I thought he was going to be the main character instead of Carl Urban. But, you know, you can't not Carl Urban anybody, so.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
Right.
And
you mentioned Jumanji 2 is already this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jungle Cruise, and then...
Is he going to be in the next Fast 9 or Fast...
He's not going to be in the next one because he did this one.
Oh, right. Okay.
But they haven't decided if he's going to be in Fin.
Good Lord.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Yeah.
Oh!
They're literally going to
marketing call it. Call it. Slide into
it's going to be in the... Fasten.
Get. Sorry. So stupid.
Jeez. Okay. And our episode... If you guys enjoyed our episode, as usual, please make sure to, wherever you are, whether it's Apple Podcasts, or make sure to not just subscribe, but to share. Make sure to get everybody in on the message boards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As usual, our writer, Lewis, has been on a roll.
Yeah.
I think like four articles.
The casual, every time the podcast goes live, we'll be posting it there. Fun articles, news, memes, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, and you can follow us on both Twitter and Instagram at 2fanboys1casual.
Well, that's it for us today. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode.
Lewis.
This is your room.
Bleep out.
Kevin Hart, so.
If they put Kevin Hart in the Fast and the Furious movies, that's the tipping point.
That's it, jumping the shark?
They jumped the shark, like...
It was a very short
shark.
No,
but it's several... But then if they... I hope the shark lands on Kevin Hart.